Moncrief on News Talk.
As you've probably been hearing, there's already a controversy at the Winter Olympics with allegations that some ski jumpers are injecting an acid serum into their crotches because apparently it gives them greater lift. The jokes write themselves. But this is far from the first time that athletes have taken extreme measures to give themselves an edge. Sports journalist Daniel Hussey is here to run us through some of them. Daniel, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Sean.
Do you know the first recorded incidence of somebody being banned because of performance enhancing?
So there's a funny story. So obviously with the story breaking there yesterday, we had a good think in terms of what was the first, what was the first time. And in 1967, they basically introduced doping rules for athletes for the 1968 Olympics. And one unfortunate guy, Swedish athlete, he was basically part of the Swedish modern pentathlon team. And before the pistol shooting event, obviously it's a big pressurized environment. Mm. He just had two beers to calm the nerves, reportedly. Now, unfortunately for him, alcohol was actually listed on that initial banned substance. So not only did he get disqualified, his whole team that won a bronze medal for Sweden actually got disqualified. So I just thought it was a very unfortunate story to start off with the show.
And they found out about it when they were getting ready to get the medal, was it?
Yeah, basically. So they'd won the bronze medal, and then subsequently they discovered alcohol after the testing after that pistol shooting event. And he reportedly said he had two beers to calm the nerves. But unfortunately for him, they had to hand back the bronze medal. And then if you want a bit more information, I did a bit of digging. He competed at both the previous Olympics, 1964 and 1972, fourth and fifth respectively. So he's still alive at 84 years of age, but unfortunately no Olympic medal due to that.
No, it's not a story you'd want to share with people,
No, but so that was, for me, I think that's the first time, I guess, officially in the Olympics, because doping was only brought in, or at least doping regulations was only brought in.
And is alcohol still on the list? Because how's alcohol going to help
you? No, I think subsequently they took it off the list due to that high-profile incident, but unfortunately rules were written before 1968. So for that particular Olympics, he did break the rules. But no, I don't think alcohol's on the list anymore.
Yeah. Is urine on the list? Because that seems to be a popular one.
Well, so urine, this is a bit an interesting one, because I didn't think this was a thing until looking at it. But a lot of athletes have actually reportedly used urine, and some people have drank their own urine every single day. Like I read stuff about Brazilian MMA fighters that every single day it's tradition in their particular family to drink their own urine the morning, every single morning.
Yeah.
And even a boxer that fought against Floyd Mayweather, he basically said it helped his last six or seven fights leading up to the fight. So he said he was going to basically drink it every single day. Now, their argument is it's 95% water. And if you're injecting vitamins into yourself for that 5%, you can basically bring it back out of your body and then bring it in again. So I wouldn't recommend it to listeners now myself, Sean, but it's a surprisingly more popular theory in other countries than you might think.
Did they believe it was doing for them?
Well, that's
the urine.
So that 95% water, so that's obviously fact. And then the 5% is chemicals that your body's disposing of. But their argument, or at least some of the fighters' argument, is that 5%, if you inject or drink a lot of vitamins, you're taking that out of your body and then effectively putting it back in. And for them, they're saying it works for them. So it's athletes trying to find that 1% edge. And I always say to people, not that there's nothing to do with urine, but if you think there's something that gives you an edge, it invariably is giving you an edge, because you've convinced yourself so much. So it's like a lot of the science now saying cold water therapy is not necessarily as conducive to athletes' recovery as, say, saunas, for example. It's sort of leaning towards saunas. But if you're going for cold water every single day and you feel like it's giving you an edge, then in my opinion, it is going to give you an edge, because if you've convinced yourself, you're still
with me. So it's a kind of urine placebo effect.
Yeah, you could call it that.
That's its official title. Now, he's not strictly speaking an athlete, but Jared Butler bought into this bee venom therapy for a while.
Yeah, so this is a bee sting therapy, and apparently this has been around for 1,000 years, I've been reading. So Jared Butler, he was basically working 12-hour days doing stunts for his movie, I think, Geostorm. So this is around, 2017-ish. And basically, it's not only you inject yourself with venom of bee stings, but in some cases, you're actually stung by actual bees. So he got caught with this twice. This is quite funny. The first time, well, not funny, it's probably the wrong word. But he had 10 shots in total from his first doctor and said he had the worst reaction ever. And when he discovered that, when he went to hospital, that the doctor maybe gave him 10 times too much of the recommended dose. So what did Jared do a few months later? He decided to go back to a similar doctor, only this time have the one dose of the sting, but unfortunately he ended up in hospital again. So it was no joke in terms of he basically it felt like he had creepy crawlies all over him in hospital for those couple of occasions. So that was one of a high profile example where it hasn't worked. But again, a lot of people out there saying it helps in terms of muscle recovery. So from injuries, for example, like getting injured on a set. So his thing was muscle strain.
Yeah.
It can, well, reportedly anyway, it can help in terms of that recovery, you know.
Yeah. Rather than just lying down and waiting till the pain to stop. Yeah. That's so bizarre. Daniel, thanks a million for coming in to tell us about that. That was the sports journalist, Daniel Hussey there. Just going back to the Kennedys who we were talking about. Somebody's texting in to say, I was a downstairs maid in the early 80s for Ethel Kennedy, RFK's widow. The men were mostly tragic, followed everywhere, a huge sense of entitlement. It was toxic, incredibly sad, and you could tell that the future for most of the family were dismal, was dismal. The women were so much stronger. How interesting to observe all of that firsthand.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.